Hello, my name is Daisy Foss, and I'm so excited to be on UK Health Radio. I've been invited by Amanda Nelson, while she's away, to take care of her shows. I think she's gone to Vietnam. How exciting is that? I'm really looking forward to hearing about it when she gets back. So, where shall we start? I am a motivational healer. I've been working in energetics, just like Amanda, for a long time now, and I am a transformational coach. And what I really enjoy doing is seeing the transformation of clients. So people who come to me for healing for one thing, and they go away with all sorts of other things, just shining and sparkling and really feeling good, as the whole body has been given a spring clean. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here on UK Health Radio. As a multidimensional healer, I work with many beings, mostly with Merlin, the magician, and the angels of awakening. These are seven different angelic realms, which I have been working with now for a number of years, as well as all of the Elohim angels. So if you're new to angels or new to the concept of having a guide called Merlin, then please stay tuned, because it's been such an exciting time working with these beings of light, and they really do enhance my life, and would love to share the experiences with you. If you do have any questions about angels, or indeed about Merlin, and would like me to answer them, then please email me on info@daisyfoss.com, or have a look at my website, and that's also daisyfoss.com. I'd love to answer any questions and hear about your angel stories. We're going to be hearing about quite a few over the next few weeks here at UK Health Radio. I just love the spring equinox. It's the time of year when I've had most fun with the angels. I had no idea what the spring equinox was when I started on my journey, and now it's one of the most important and exciting times of the year, in the wheel of the year, as we go through the seasons. The equinoxes are the balance, the equal light during the day or the night, and the balance and the harmony that brings to us, to you in your everyday life, is quite important. It's you're coming out of the darkness of the winter and into the balance now of the light and dark, the yin, the yang, the alpha and the omega. So how does this affect you? How do you feel about the spring equinox? Is it just another day, or are you really excited about it and looking forward to joining in with ceremonies and rituals, going to sacred spaces? What is it that you're going to be doing? There are people all around the world gathering at these sacred sites, especially Chichen Itza, the temple in Mexico, where as the dawn arises, the light goes down across the temple in the shape of a snake. So it's the serpent arising. It's hundreds and thousands of people gather for the sight of the vernal equinox. Paul and I went to the Mayan temple in Chichen Itza for our honeymoon. It was incredible. We flew into it in this tiny little plane with about 12 people on, and most terrifying thing ever. But the temple itself at Chichen Itza is just awesome. It's a really in the jungle, Mayan, one of the first Mayan temples, and one of the last discovered. It's just the energy in there was just phenomenal. Quite dark as well as light, but I had wished to be there for the spring equinox, but we went for our honeymoon instead. So it was amazing to be there. I think travelling to sacred sites is definitely one of the things I love to do most. When I think about it, Paul and I have travelled to many sacred sites, and they are all over the world. And what are they? They're ancient monuments or places of energy that has gathered and become a place of ceremony and ritual. The most famous one and the biggest one that I have been to with the most energy was the Great Pyramid on the Giza Plateau in Cairo in Egypt. It is the most incredible space. The most sacred space in the UK, to my mind, is Glastonbury, a little town in Somerset, which I and Paul ended up living in for 15 years, and it was absolutely magical, such an incredible space. And we would have ceremonies every Sabbat and Esbat, and it was the spring vernal equinox, which was our most favourite. It really did kick off the beginning of the season. And we would have these incredible gatherings of groups from all over the world. They'd come to Glastonbury to be on the tour at sunrise with their drums, with their crystal bowls, and the energy was just incredible. It is very hard to describe, but you just get tingles all the way down your spine as the sun rises. It's just absolutely amazing. On my first visit to Glastonbury, I stayed at this bed and breakfast on the tour, and the lady, her name was Isis, was taking people to Egypt, and she asked me if I'd like to go, and I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. I had no interest in Egypt up until that point, but it seemed like a good idea. And when I said to Paul that we would be going, we'd be spending the night in the pyramid, he said, "Oh, gosh, I'm going to buy a video recorder for that then." So that was the beginning of our sacred spiritual journeys to Egypt. And we continued every year from the year 2000 right through to 2011, going to the Great Pyramid, to the temples along the Nile for ceremony, for sacred, lots of sacred ceremonies, really did improve the vibrational energy. I do believe it was Merlin who guided me to go to Glastonbury in the first place, and when I got there, it was almost as if I had walked out of an old life into a new life. It was as if layers and layers of energy just dropped off, and I emerged through all of this. I'd been working with Merlin for about 8 years, unconsciously to start with. But then when I met Isis, the lady in Glastonbury, she told me who he was, and that he was a spirit guide, and that he was very earthy and was a magician that would help with the healing. It was during our first sacred journey to Egypt that I met the angels. These were the angels of the Elohim, the angels from the realms that most people recognize: Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Uriel, Shamuel, Shafael, Zadkiel, Sandalphon. Oh, I could go on, but at that time I didn't know of any of them, and I'm sure you know of many more as well, because there are hundreds and hundreds of Elohim angels that we just don't know what their names are. It's just wonderful. So if you have a guide, or you're not sure, why don't you just ask your heart, is there a guardian angel with you who is helping you bring in this charm in your life and helping you in some way or other? Because that's what angels do. They help you, they assist you. And I have a giggle with my friends and clients. I don't know about you, but how many times do you ask for a parking angel and all of a sudden there is a space for you? I know my husband, Paul, thinks it's amazing. It's one of the only woo-woo things that he does actually think is amazing. So when you call upon these angels, they will assist you. You have to be very direct. You have to be able to talk to them as if you're talking to a dog or a cat. Well, cats don't listen to you, but you know what I mean. To a dog that's going to take your command. And that's what the angels do. They love to be able to assist, and they will do what it is that you require and you ask them for. And that's the important thing. They can only help you if you ask. And they can only help you if you are if it's of your highest good. They won't give you the lottery numbers, for instance. That's not necessarily for your highest good. Although we'd love it, wouldn't we? I'd love to win the lottery. You know, I went through a whole stage of doing exactly that, but it was only £2 a go. So I stopped doing it and used the money for something else. So here we go. We're off on another tangent. Let's come back to the angels and the spring equinox, this time of year. It is certainly the most beautiful and time to connect with your angels. And there's a good reason for this. The good reason for this is that the veils are thinner. The veils of between the dimensions, the worlds, are thinner. And that is why you can do more ceremony at the equinoxes and the solstices, or the espats, the ones in the middle. So the angels can really connect and communicate with you better in a sacred space, because it's clearer and it is sacred. That's why we go. And also because there is thinner disruption and it's not a dense energy that they have to come through. It's very thin and very receptive. There's another thing a lot of people don't know about the equinoxes and the solstice, and that is that it's more than just the one day. So if you are thinking, oh my gosh, why am I feeling like this, it was yesterday, that's because the energy flows from 4 days before and then 4 days after. So that's a total of 9 days, and the energy is very receptive during those 9 days, four before and four after. And as you get closer to the equinox, the 2 days before is very dense, and the 2 days after is also very dense. When I say dense here, I mean that the energy is concentrated. It is the density of the human energetic fields. The veils between the levels are actually very thin. So you've got dense energy being able to be released through these thin veils. Gosh, I'm getting so technical now. I promised Amanda I wouldn't get technical. I think really what I'm trying to say is that there's plenty of time over the equinox to really enjoy the energies. So, and if you start feeling that things are a bit different 4 days before, know that that's why, and 4 days after as well. I know that the Mayans absolutely used the 9 days before the equinox and 9 days after. So they really did have a long run-up, and they took time after as well. So it's not just the day. I think that's my point. I think that's what I'm trying to say. It's also just before the equinox that the energy starts to rise in your body. It starts to come up in lots of ways. Some people cry. Some people laugh a lot. Others get very angry. And it's an indication that there is stuff that needs to be released and let go of. And I know my kids say, oh no, not another letting go. What do you mean, Mum? And it is absolutely a way of letting go of emotions by consciously saying to yourself, I'm going to let this go. I make it sound so easy. It is easy. It is simple. You just have to do it. I think I'm going to have that written everywhere. Just do it. Or has somebody else got that slogan? Maybe they have. So where were we? We were with the angels at the spring equinox in Egypt. Oh, goodness me, have you been to Egypt? It is amazing. I had no interest in it at all until my first visit, and it was like a light bulb was switched on. I've already said when I went to Egypt the first time and Glastonbury the very first time, it was as if I stepped out of an old me into a new me. And in Egypt, it was as if I'd stepped back into a very comfortable being. It was a new me with a very comfortable energy around. Very, very beautiful. So it was quite an eye-opener, and we loved it so much that that was the first year when we met the Elohim angels. And the first time was the March equinox, and we also went in the September equinox, which is a totally different energy. There you're letting go, you're releasing, it's the autumn time of your cycle, your sphere, your energy field, just letting go. You know, you're getting ready for winter to go into that space of the cocoon, the hibernation. So there we were at the spring equinox in 2000, when the energy is really high for this spring new energy, really perking up, getting a new focus, and all sorts of new beginnings, births in so many ways, because this first real sabbat of the new year is a time for really connecting, making that connection. And because the veils are thin, because the angels, there are more angels too, because they can, more of them can come through. It is really a really good time to start something new or to go to a sacred space. And the sacred space that we went to, Paul and I, was Egypt. First and foremost, we didn't appreciate that Glastonbury was that at first. It was, we're going off to Egypt. And our family thought we were mad. Why? And you know, we didn't really have an answer until we came back. And then it was really obvious why we went. Not only were we suntanned in March, we had a whole different bounce, a different being. The energetic bodies had all been sparkly and bathed in the light, and the energies of the temples, and of course the Great Pyramid. More about that later.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Trips to Egypt for the sacred journeys took months to organize, when I started to do my own, I really appreciated the amount of work that Isis put into them. But right at the beginning, it was so exciting and awesome, and of course it unfolded in front of us. And one of the most exciting parts was that although there was a plan, the plan changed in the moment. If we were doing one thing and all of a sudden there was another room to look into or another place to stop and see, we wouldn't have to just be following the plan. We were absolutely on this journey of awakening and enlightenment, and I think we all are. We do it in our everyday lives, but we only really take notice of it when we're on holiday. this spiritual journey, we would get up every morning and all meet and do some yoga or something like Tai Chi or something like that. And of course, we'd never done anything like that, so that was quite a giggle. I still can't do it even now, after 23 years. I'll get up in the morning and greet the early sunrise, doing a few stretches, but actually doing yoga is something that my body just laughs at. I don't know about you. What about you? It just says no. So we have to do other things like walking very, very gently, very sedately. None of this running around and getting hot and sweaty. It's just gentle. So after our meditation and the physical yoga soft exercises, we would go to the temples. We'd all get into a coach and be driven to the temples along the Nile. Cairo was the first place that we would normally go to, and of course the hotel would be opposite the pyramid. We would stay either at the Le Méridien or the Mena House Hotel. That was my favourite, and that was the oldest one as well. I'm sure I had a past life there, but I think that's a different story. So off we would go in our little coach, and we would go to the temples around the Great Pyramids. We would go to Saqqara. Oh, that's the most amazing temple. And we would go to Abu Sir. We would go to Memphis, where Ramesses' temple was. We would go to all these most incredible temples, we would come back to the Great Pyramid. And every time we went into a temple, it was a different experience, and Isis would call in a different angel. So we would start with Archangel Michael. He's the protecting angel, blue and very strong. And now, 20-odd years later, he has been with me almost all the time since then. It's been quite incredible friendship and connection. And then we would go to another temple where she would call in Archangel Raphael. This is the healing angel. He's with the emerald green light and such a beautiful, soft energy. And we would feel the healing then, having been gone through the protection, there would be the healing. And then the next temple, we would call in Archangel Shamuel for love, bringing in the love energy. So it was such an eye-opener that the room would be in one state, and then whilst we were calling in these angels specifically, the place and space would change energy. It was awesome. But up to that time, I was still a bit sceptical. But the others were all convinced, and it was different. There was a different kind of feeling. So again, if you've not had angels in your life, then consciously, then maybe you need to have a look at how to translate those feelings and have a look and see if there are any signs around, whether these angels have been banging you on the head and showing you that they're there, but you just haven't computed it. There was a lot of listening to the angels as well, taking guidance. And there are two particular angels that were, I suppose they were the CEOs, they were the generals. And that was, the first one was Metatron. He is the God Most High of the universe. And he is in charge of the energy as above, as below, so heaven and earth. And he has a symbol that you may or may not know. It's called Metatron's cube, and that is a combination of the Merkabahs. Stay tuned for more information about Metatron and his cube. It really is a beautiful shape. I just love looking at it. But now I know what the energy symbols mean and the amount of energy and how much good it does to you just having one of the symbols in your house. My house is filled with those kind of symbols. It's really lovely. And of course, talk to Metatron all the time. He is the God Most High. He is the CEO, the general of all the angels. Pretty cool guy. Archangel Melchizedek. Oh my goodness, he's the other CEO of the God Most High of the universe. And Melchizedek, he holds the energy as within, as without. So that's all around, that's the sphere. And Archangel Melchizedek is from the multicolored rainbow light. He is absolutely phenomenal. And it's Melchizedek, he's the archangel that is really in charge of humanity, the Great White Brotherhood. And he is the holder of the sacred geometry. So the flower of life, the seed of life, the tree of life, and of course the egg of life, the Vesica Pisces, are all part of Archangel Melchizedek's remit. He has really shown humanity how to activate their Merkabah. And again, the Merkabah is a symbol, a sacred geometry symbol that you'll see absolutely everywhere when you go to Egypt. And if you go to Egypt, let's hope. If you go to Glastonbury, it's absolutely everywhere as well, because of the energy that is generated from Archangel Melchizedek's sacred geometry symbols. And so again, more about that later. The spring equinox is the time of year when Glastonbury starts to wake up. It's Ostara, Easter, and that's when the visitors start to arrive. But I must say that the town really does embrace all of the Espats and the Sabbats, the solstices and the equinoxes. It is such a fabulous time when you go there. I mean, it's vibrant, it's exciting, and people live, they walk their talk. They are living with their Merkabah, their body of light, their body of love. And there's so many layers to Glastonbury, though. It's just fantastic. And that's one of the reasons that I think it's such a sacred space as well. There's this vibrancy of energy that that flows in through the many sacred sites that are there: the Chalice Well, the Abbey, the White Spring, and of course Glastonbury Tor, to name just a few. I want to explain the Sabbats and the Espats a little bit more, because I was very confused when I first learnt about it. It's the Wheel of the Year, and it's the pagan witches' almanac Wheel of the Year that the farmers use, that those that work with nature have used forever. And the Wheel of the Year actually starts in December. It's the first ceremony, it's the first Sabbat, and that is the Yule winter solstice in December, around the 21st. And then the next event is Imbolc, and that's in February, around February the 1st, when the first shoots start to come through. And then we have Ostara, which is the spring equinox in March. And after that, we have Beltane. Beltane is around the 30th of April, the 1st of May, May Day. And that's really, Beltane is the celebration of going out of the winter, going into summer, because the next one is the summer solstice at Lilith, which is in June the 20th, 21st. And then we come to Lammas in August. This is also known as Lugesnacht. I can't say that very well, sorry. I call it Lammas, and that's in August. And then we have Mabon, the autumn equinox, and that is in September, followed by Samhain in October, around the 31st. So that's the whole of the Espats and Sabbats, the summer solstices and the equinoxes and the dates in between. So all of those times are times when the veils are thinner, the ceremonies take place, the land is blessed, the sun is blessed, you are blessed, and the angels can really come and help you. It's not just the angels though, there are other beings of light that help at this time. So, and we'll talk about that on another day. So how did I meet the angels in Egypt on that first spring equinox journey that I took? Oh my goodness me. It was all so new to us, and that's probably the exciting part, was that we just didn't know what was going to happen. And the small group of people that we were with also were beginners. Everyone had their spiritual L plates on, and we were being led by this very experienced lady, Isis, who had embodied the energy of the goddess Isis, the goddess of love. And goodness me, that was what this whole journey was about, was opening your hearts to love, opening your hearts to light, opening your hearts to the greater being that you are. And she took us very gently through this process. Part of that was recognizing that there were so many layers to our lives that we were just unaware of, that we were unconscious to. And so when we started every day with this heart-opening meditation, that was when the angels were invited in, the angels were invoked, and they were invoked through the quarters. So you would bring them in through each of the directions. And I've promised Amanda I won't do a meditation because some of you might be driving. So I'm just going to explain how you open your heart. It's probably just as exciting and interesting too. So by inviting and invoking the angels, and that's what you do. You say, well, you can do it many, many different ways. The textbook way is, I invoke Archangel Michael, love and light, love and light, love and light. Otherwise, you just say, I invite Archangel Michael. Bring in have the intention of bringing in that energy. And so these were all very new names to me. I certainly wasn't brought up with the Bible. I was brought up in a very radical household. My mum and dad were young parents in the 60s. And so I really hadn't had that kind of upbringing. It was very wild and creative. I'm just laughing because I'm just remembering my childhood and how completely void of any spirituality that it was. It was all very bohemian, but definitely not spiritual. And I've certainly made sure that my kids have a little taste. They know a bit, and they do call me the hippy-dippy grandma. So I am the hippy-dippy grandma. Most of the archangels aren't in the Bible. I think it's only the four major ones, Raphael, Michael, Gabriel and Uriel. But other religions have the most incredible amount of angels in them. And that's the beauty of studying angels, is finding out exactly where and who they who they've shown themselves to over the ages. The four directions were also very new to me as well. And to imagine legions of angels coming in from the east and coming in from the south, the west and the north, was just completely alien in thought to me at the time. But Isis made us really feel them. She made us really believe that they were coming in. And We would be asked to feel where they were in our body and where we could feel the sensations of the angels coming in and coming through our body. And I remember one particular time when she stopped me. She said, "You're just going through the motions. You're saying love and light, love and light, love and light. And this Archangel Michael is standing behind you. You really need to feel him, dear." And of course I retorted, "Well, I can't feel him, dear." And so I was a bit sassy then. And so she said, "Well, ask him to show you, to make it more clear." From that moment, every single time I invoked Archangel Michael, I had this massive heat flow through my body, the fire. And the fire just was like it was like a hot flush. And it was like, "Oh, I'm too young to have hot flushes." And then I realised that I'd been having these hot flushes for a very long time, since about 17 or 18 years old. But she said, "It's not a hot flush. It's a power surge." So if you get hot, if you feel the rising of energy when you invoke the angels, invite them in, then know that that's Archangel Michael. He really does show himself to you in that way. And I asked the other angels to show me ways to differentiate them as well, as I've gone on long on this journey. So Archangel Raphael is a soft healing energy that just flows. It's like this wave of soft energy flowing through, and the healing comes out through my hands. It's really quite a heat through the hands, and there are other ways as well of differentiating between the angels. I remember I asked Archangel Zadkiel, and he used to tweak on my big toe. It was very strange. He stopped doing that now. I wonder why that is. I think it's a bit like when you start to learn to drive, when you have mirror signal manoeuvre. As you get used to working with the angels, you start to look at the road ahead and start to trust which one is coming through. They're different qualities, because they all have very different qualities. And that's what we were learning on this spiritual journey. It was learning to be authentic, to be able to open your heart and eyes to other things that were in the world, and to really walk the land and to appreciate the land and to appreciate the cycles of the year, the different energies, and how it could really help you, and by helping you, it in some way also helped your fellow beings, and helped humanity. And that was her gift, that was Isis's gift, was to spread this love, not just through herself, but through her groups and through the world as she saw it. It was quite wonderful. And I miss her. She passed now, but wonderful teacher. By the time we had gone to the temples leading up to the great day, the day of the spring equinox, when we were going to be actually inside the Great Pyramid on the Giza Plateau in Cairo, we had really learnt quite a lot about ourselves and gone through some incredible initiations and realisations. And both Paul and I were just in awe of the changes that were taking place, not just in ourselves but in other people too. So the excitement of going to the Great Pyramid was literally crescendoing. It was really building. And when we were prepared by the meditations, we couldn't eat anything solid for the day before. We had to have fasted a little, and prepared ourselves for this experience of being within the Great Pyramid on the spring equinox. Yeah, I was so excited. It was just awesome. The build up to it was just fantastic. The first time you see the Great Pyramid, it is just bigger than life. It is so huge, and the anticipation that we were feeling on top of that, because the energy of the spring equinox in Egypt is awesome. The air tingles with anticipation and with the sheer amount of energy that the pyramids are radiating. They're literally shining. I mean, they are pumping this energy right out round all of the grids, right through all of the ley lines, all of the synchronic lines, the micro lines, the galactic ley lines, all coming in and then going out into the world. So it's like this huge tube torus of energy through the pyramidical shape. Yeah, just fabulous, just incredible. This spring equinox that we were going into the pyramid was the beginning of the new millennia. It was the year 2000. So it was an extra added energy and impetus. It was just so exciting. We had special access in the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid over the night time. And I'm sure they left us in there longer than we were intended to be there because it was it was just incredible. And we went in silence through the passageways, and Isis was saying, call in your angels, call in the guides. And as we were going up into the great hallway, she was calling the names of them individually. And all of a sudden, I felt this wing, and this wing just hit me. I saw it, and it hit me. And she said, oh, and here's Archangel Raphael. Watch out, his wings. His wings are really big. And it was just like, whoa, how did she know that? How did I see that first? How did she know that? And of course, it was in the moment. And so the realization that these archangels are massive, are huge, and the feeling was tangible, it was real. And that was how I really met the angels for the very first time in the Great Pyramid, literally being knocked off my feet by Archangel Raphael in that moment. And the other archangels that we had been working with, Archangel Michael, I mean, you could see him. You could just knew that he was there. The energy flowing from Archangel Uriel, the Archangel of the Earth, crystals and the minerals, he was also part of this ceremonial experience. The real stars of the show, though, on this occasion, were Archangel Metatron and Archangel Melchizedek. They really did show up and bringing the energy from heaven to earth, and as within, as without, creating this sphere of light. And the physical feelings, the emotional, the mental, the karmic experience of these magnificent energies was I can, even talking about it now, I can still feel it. If you have been introduced to Metatron and Melchizedek, then you'll know what I mean. Metatron's presence was so overpowering, absolutely phenomenal. And Archangel Melchizedek was much more rounded and much more balanced and harmonizing. It was a bit like the balance of the equinox, just bringing in the equality of the male and the female, the yin and the yang. And it was really that feeling of everything being able to be equal. You know, it was just incredible. Just the words aren't coming to explain it. It was such a fabulous experience, and I just hope by sharing it with you are enjoying it too.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
My name is Daisy Foss and I hope you've enjoyed my show. It has been quite a journey getting here and presenting, so I want to thank Amanda Nelson for trusting me with her show while she's away, and I just wanted to recap on what we've been talking about, and that is the spring equinox and how it has influenced me and how I met the angels in and 2000 on a spiritual journey to Egypt, and it really did change my life. That's why I'm sitting here today. So if you have any questions about Egypt then, or about the angels, then please do contact me on info@daisyfoss.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And next time we are going to be talking about Merlin and how his influence has really shaped my life too, and how he can bring magic into yours. And we will be talking about the angels and the Christed light in future shows. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the music, it's by my husband Paul Foss. You can hear more from him on my website, daisyfoss.com, where there's lots more information about what I do as well, if you're looking for a one-to-one healing or a workshop or something to do or just something good to read. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to speaking to you again soon here on UK Health Radio.